Today on Real Radio.
This has nothing to do with judging somebody. Nothing at all. What it means is when someone claims to know Christ, they, by their own declaration, have set themselves up into a position, or can I say on a pedestal, for all to observe.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, we've been looking at passages in the second chapter where John speaks of Antichrist and not to be deceived by anything that is against the true Messiah and all that he is and all that he represents. Now, continuing down that path, the Apostle John continues to admonish the Lord's followers to separate truth from error. And believe it or not, fellowship with other believers is one way to grow and to hone our skills in discerning true discipleship. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson from 1 John 2, verses 19 through 24. It's a lesson called True Christian Fellowship.
1 John chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. As we look at what we're entitling this evening, True Christian Fellowship. True Christian Fellowship. And while you're turning there, Paul, I believe it's Paul, that reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. This evening, we're going to talk about Christian fellowship. We have come through a series of looking at 10 considerations of the spirit and the person of the Antichrist, as in 1 John chapter 2, he and that mode, that mindset in the world that is against Christ is also against the church. And we have seen this animosity that is even brewing all the more. But in chapter 2 of 1 John, we see here now beginning in verse 19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you'll also abide in the Son and in the Father. As John begins to describe to us, he's breaking away now from this talk, this admonition, this warning. The churches were concerned because they believed that they were living in a time that not only the spirit of Antichrist was present, but even the Antichrist himself would be coming. And so John, in our previous studies, addressed that very thing, that you and I right now are contending with a spirit, a mindset that the scripture mentions as Antichrist. It can be dressed in any form. It can be draped in any type of disguise. But the spirit or the attitude or mindset of Antichrist is any institution or system or attitude that would demean and demote the person of Jesus Christ. For example, tonight, in your life, if you were asked by the reporter on the street, who is Jesus Christ? The Bible demands a very specific response to that question. You cannot be vague before God regarding that question. God is looking for a very specific response. God sent Jesus Christ to perform a very specific task. And the only true answer to that question is that Jesus Christ is none other than God come to earth in human flesh, that he died for the sins of the world. And to qualify for your salvation, it is simply this, that you are taking all of your life and all of your life's concern and placing it into the everlasting arms of God Almighty, that you come to him and trust in him fully. So we saw really two things in our studies previously, that there is a spirit of Antichrist that really existed before even the forming of Adam and Eve in the garden. We know that Satan had his ideas concerning his own Antichrist spirit. As the scripture teaches us and shows us, it says in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, listen carefully. It says, "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, for you have said in your heart," first one, "I will ascend into heaven." Number two, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Three, "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north." Number four, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And number five, "I will be like the Most High." This hideous, heretical thought that was in the mind of Lucifer happened at some point in time in eternity past. Satan began to think in an Antichrist spirit or manner that I will be like God. I will have my own throne. I will exalt myself. And though tonight none of us are devils, there may be one in this gathering that is just living for self. I must have that position. I will do as I please. I will command my own ship, and I will not have this man, Christ Jesus, rule over me. I just want you to know that that spirit that operates in your heart is none other than the spirit of Antichrist that permeates the world even to this very hour. It is very dangerous. It's a self-seeking attitude, an ambitious one, one that would put down all others at the exaltation of self. It's the attempt to grandize one's own existence, and it's a very dangerous, obviously, a very dangerous thing. Secondly, we see in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I'd appreciate it if you wrote this down. It's a very serious and needful portion of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test or try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God." Well, interesting. John told us in another place that by false prophets being in the world, we would also recognize that we're living in the last days. And we are in those last days. It is estimated that right now there are more false messiahs and false deliverers walking around on earth than at any other time. There are more cults and more occultic groups being formed, drawing crowds after themselves, more now than at any other time. And certainly that goes along with every other statistic that we see in the world around us against God. But it's very, very serious. In 1 John chapter 4, this word test in the Greek is an interesting word. The word test means this. It means that it is to be tried, to approve or disapprove. It means to examine closely, to scrutinize. It's to take the magnifying glass. Now listen carefully to this, because to be quite honest with you, we have been very ill-prepared as Christians in these last days. We have got some kind of a concept in our minds, and it's wrong, that when the Bible says to test the spirits, it means that we are to examine the people who claim to be Christians. It means that we would take a magnifying glass and look up one side of them and down the other. And yet you and I, in a Christian culture, would never dare do such a thing in obedience to the Bible for fear that we might be accused as one who judges. This has nothing to do with judging somebody. Nothing at all. What it means is when someone claims to know Christ, they, by their own declaration, have set themselves up into a position, or can I say on a pedestal, for all to observe. Did you know the Christian is on display? Maybe tomorrow when you go to work and you goof up, you will have co-workers remind you that you are a Christian and you ought not to say those kinds of things. There may be people at work and watching you and you jockey for position to get that parking spot closer to the door at the building. And they'll say, well, you know, I thought you preach, you know, the first will be last and the last will be first. You know, and you come back with some little quickie on them to try to redeem yourself. The world is watching. It's as though they take a magnifying glass and they look for cracks and flaws in our lives. Guess what? They're not wrong in doing it. They should do that. But we should quickly point out to them, my friend, you will find flaws in me. But in the Jesus I follow, in him, there is nothing wrong. There is no evil. There is all purity and holiness in him. Our righteousness is rooted and grounded in Christ. And so we need to remember that the scripture tells us in these last days to test the spirits. When someone comes up and says, hi, I'm a pastor. That personally, because I'm a pastor, makes me nervous. And especially, and I hope I don't offend anybody with this and saying this, there are those who introduce themselves, nice to meet you, Pastor Jack. I am Reverend whatsoever. And you know, the scripture says that God is the only one who is reverend. Did you know that? And we are to only revere him. But I'm not going to make an issue about that kind of a thing. It's just a little alarming that James warns us that the person who opens up the Bible, many of you have home Bible studies in your house. You open up the Bible and you think, man, this is great. And it is great. Oh, we're having so much fun. And you are having fun. But don't take it too lightly, because the scripture teaches that we, whoever crack open the Word of God, will receive a greater judgment from who? The world? No, from God himself. Because to whom much is given, much will be required. And so it's very important that we understand that we are to be a people in these last days that contend for the faith and live a life dedicated to God. So that when they look at us with that microscope or with that magnifying glass, that if they look hard enough, they'll see Jesus in our lives. And this is what the Lord would have for us to experience. We're going to look at a few things tonight with the time remaining, and we don't have much time, so we're going to fly. So I'm going to ask you to follow along with me carefully on this. In your note-taking, I want you to look at verse 19. And the first thing we want to see is this. Concerning true Christian fellowship, the first thing that we see is that it demands that we trust Jesus Christ to shepherd the church. Mark this down. Listen carefully. I'm at a handicap in sharing this with you. Would it be better for me to step around from this pulpit and get down on the floor? Maybe I should. Maybe I can bend this microphone and it would catch my voice down this way. Because the tendency for me to be here and you there, there's this separation. I have a desk in my office. And one of the loving brothers here at this church built that desk. Now, you could land an F-14 fighter plane on that desk. It's huge, but it's extremely functional. And I'm quite the slob. So there's papers all over that thing normally. But I don't like to live behind that desk. I feel alienated. I feel distanced from the people that might be in my office at that time. But this pulpit, like Ezra, during the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, where the very first pulpit is recorded in Scripture, it was built of wood, and there Ezra opened up the Word of God, and they had a Bible study, not for an hour, but for about 9 hours, which is, to me, the way every Bible study should be. What more important things do we have to do but study the Bible? This pulpit, I don't want to be a deterrent to what I'm about to say. True Christian fellowship demands that we trust Jesus Christ to shepherd His church. Now listen, if there is a movement, if there is an activity, if there's a teaching, if there's an attitude, if something is being sent out from the pulpit or from the ministry, or can I say the word which I hate to say, leadership, because of the connotations that that brings up. If there's a message or an error being produced, that the leadership sit here and the lay people sit over there, I find that repulsive, personally, because I see the exact opposite with Jesus. When we look at the fellowship of the saints, when it says, for example, in verse 19, when it says that they went out from us, this is the they, or those, who are of an antichrist spirit. Remember what we saw last time together. We find those of an antichrist spirit in church. But verse 19 says, they went out from us. Now, what it doesn't mean, hear me clearly, what it doesn't mean is God leading you off or over to another church. It's not what he's talking about. It's not what's meant. Well, you know, somebody left my fellowship and they've come to your church and, you know, what is that? That's not what he's talking about. Every ministry, in fact, let's put it this way. In fact, a friend, I appreciate him saying this. He said, you can have a Colonel Sanders on one corner and a Jack in the Box in one corner and a Taco Bell on the other, and an In-N-Out. And they're all busy. They're all ministering to people. What John is not talking about is when someone is in a church and they've been there and they're growing and growing and growing. You know what often happens? God says, I've used you here, and now it's time, with all that you have ingested in this church, it's time now that you go to another place and carry with you what I've given you so that you can help that work go. I think of a Calvary Chapel that's getting started down the freeway. What would it be? East of here. How exciting that is. Would to God that we would all rejoice rather than some cult springing up or something like that. Now, when he says that these were of us, they went out from us, he's not talking about Christians that might be led to another fellowship, for crying out loud. He's talking about people who were never Christians at all. They infiltrate churches. They lift hands up in the air just like you do. In fact, quite frankly, they might lift their hands during worship or praise higher than you do. They may be next to you weeping and you're wondering, what's wrong with me? How come I'm not being moved like they're being moved? Listen, there could be people who were in ministry. You can buy books, Christian books, that warn you, and one of them is entitled, The Predators in Our Pulpits. That just the theme, or the title of that book makes me scared. I have it in my office, Predators in the Pulpits. Well, the world outside this wall, they can probably drop a list 9 miles long about predators in the pulpits that they're aware of. But what about the church? The fact of the matter is, the scriptures teach us that Jesus is in control of his church. Do you and I understand everything that's going on within it? No, we do not. We don't understand. But Jesus died for his church. Have you been wounded? Have you been hurt? Have you been affected? It's not coming from Christ. It stems from possibly someone misrepresenting Christ or misunderstanding, period. But the demand upon us as a church is to realize concerning true Christian fellowship is that Jesus is the shepherd of the church. This is true. It's true in here. You might say, well, you know what? You're just saying that. I've known pastors. You know what? You ought to live with me for a while. I can honestly tell you, I do not miss one moment of sleep concerning this church. Now, you may call me naive and in denial, but I don't let anything worry me about it. There's no way. I'm not going to worry about it. I didn't sign up for this job. I didn't jump up and down. I didn't fast and beg and pray, oh, God. No. He called me. I figured if he called me, he made it extremely clear that he called me. I got kind of upset with him when he did call me. I had my retirement all set up perfect. And he calls me to do this thing. And you know what? I have to just give the Lord honor and praise. You know what? As Christiana was speaking, mentioning about hearing God's voice, when we're still and when we're quiet, it is easier to follow him. I am convinced that Jesus never stops talking. My problem is I'm not always listening. You know, you can take a college class on how to communicate. You can take a college course on how to write. You can take a college course on anything. Have you ever even heard of a college class offered on how to listen? And yet you can just divorce yourself from anything that you're trying to pursue if you don't know how to listen. Jesus is always speaking. True Christian fellowship demands that we trust Jesus Christ to shepherd the church. And look, these who depart, they departed from the pastoral care of Jesus. When someone's in the fellowship and they're not of the fellowship, that's what John is speaking of. It's not that they, well, I'm at Calvary and I'm a Baptist. I guess I don't belong here. I'm leaving. That's not what he's talking about.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from 1 John 2 and verses 19 through 24. The title, True Christian Fellowship. True Christian Fellowship, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through the three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Remember, it's absolutely free, so if you just got a new tablet or a smartphone for Christmas, well, here's your opportunity to go to the App Store and download it at no charge. Lots of features connected to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Journey. That's another one of our TV programs that airs on hischannel.com. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and that you can get via email. Also, our Wednesday night study is available, which also airs, by the way, on hischannel.com live on Wednesday nights. Our Real Radio podcasts are available. And, of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with exactly that, real life issues from a biblical perspective. And a whole lot more when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. I'm looking at mine right now. I got to tell you, it makes things real convenient. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you could always visit us, realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Also, our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.